Welcome, baseball fans, to another edition of the Baseball America podcast. I'm Nathan Rohde, alongside Connor Glassy, coming to you from the Baseball America headquarters in Durham, North Carolina. Connor and I just returned to the office after spending a week in Jupiter, Florida, to see the top high school prospects play in the Worldwood Bat Championships. The tournament featured 85 teams from all over the country, and after 5 days of over 200 games, we are certainly tired.
Yeah. How are your feet feeling, Rohde?
My feet are very sore, but my ankles, the swelling has gone down.
That's good. Yeah, it was hot. It was a lot of baseball, some long days, but it was a lot of fun.
It certainly was. There's, at Jupiter, if you know, you guys aren't familiar with the tournament, it's basically there's 13 fields going on all at once, and there's about 6 time slots during the day in which games are being played. So, you know, unless you have a crew of 10 or 15 people, you can't see everything. And Baseball America had 3 people there, you, me, and Dave Perkin, who is our West Coast scout, came in to see some games. But teams, major league teams with their scouting departments, generally roll about a dozen, 15 or more deep in order to see as many players as they can.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, for us, when we're trying to spread ourselves all over the place, that means a lot of walking. And some of those fields are pretty far apart, and we actually had to break down and get the golf cart on Sunday.
The golf cart was a good move on our part on Sunday, I felt. That morning when we got up, I didn't think I was going to make it through an entire day without it. It was expensive, but you know what? I think it was worth it for that day, because Monday, even though we did do some walking, I felt a lot better and a little more re-energized, I guess.
Exactly. It gave us that much-needed boost right in the, you know, towards the end of the tournament there.
Well, I think the greatest thing that we can tell our readers about with Jupiter is, you know, we release a top 25 high school draft ranking during the summer, and then in the fall we come out with a top 100, kind of an early look at who the talent is for the high school. And a lot of that comes from the trips that you and I did over the summer. You know, I was at Tournament of Stars, you went to Perfect Game National and East Coast Showcase, and Dave Perkin took care of the area code games for us. But Jupiter is kind of the culmination of all of this. We get to see all of those players kind of in one spot, and that's where we get to reassure ourselves about a certain player, or, you know, make sure we get to see the pop-up guys who need to make our top 100 if we didn't really know about them in the first place. But kind of hitting on some of our top 25 guys first, it should be mentioned that some of these guys that we really like and we saw over the summer weren't there. Jameson Tyone, for example, did not make the trip, nor did A.J. Cole. And Connor, you spoke with Jameson about why he didn't go. You want to go into that a little bit?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously Jameson had a very busy summer, you know, pitching in the Under Armour game, and then with the gold medal winning Team USA. So he's pitched a lot this summer, and basically he just wanted to take a little bit of time off, rest up the arm. It sounds like he'll be taking about 6 to 8 weeks off, just resting and working out, training to get stronger and be ready to go once spring rolls around. And you know what? For a guy like that, who's already at the top of our list, didn't have a lot to gain from going to Jupiter, and probably has more to gain from just taking it easy and resting up, and I think that's a smart move on his part.
It sure is, and it's the same story with A.J. Cole, who is, you know, the number 2 guy on our list, a very projectable right-hander from Florida. He did a lot of pitching himself this summer. He did Tournament of Stars. He didn't pitch on the Olympic team, but the Team USA, because he couldn't get out of school. There's a lot of strict guidelines with some of these schools around the country and how much you can miss, so you know, obviously they need to adhere to that so that they can be eligible to play in the spring. But it's also a good idea for these kids to take some time off, because remember, we're talking about 17 to 18-year-olds. And I talked to a college pitching coach down there, asking him why one of his recruits wasn't pitching in Jupiter. He says, well, you can't pitch 12 months out of the year. You know, you can't pitch forever like that. You know, you're going to break down, especially when you have a young kid. So it's nothing against these kids. You know, they deserve to be there, but they don't have to be, especially those guys at the top of the list. You know, they have their scholarships lined up. The scouts know who they are. They just need to rest up so that they can compete in the spring and be ready to go when they get drafted. So that's the story with a couple of the guys that weren't there. Connor, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the things that we found when we were doing our showcase article that came out last week, is that these events, seem to be better for the position players. They have more to gain, you know, from getting more experience with the wood bats and seeing the quality pitching. But for the pitchers, it's you know, obviously just a little bit riskier trying to pitch that long as a young pitcher like that. So it's good for these position players to come out and get some more reps with the wood, and smart, you know, for some of the pitchers that maybe decide to take a little break.
It sure is. Now, how about a couple of the guys that were there? One of them, the first one I guess we'll hit on, is a hitter from, you know, Connor, your neck of the woods, being a Seattle guy. Josh Sally, an outfielder from the upper Northwest. Tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, well, Josh is a big physical kid. He, both of his parents, I believe, were professional bodybuilders back in the day, and you can kind of see that looking at him. He's got a big physical frame, and plays left field, but he's more athletic than you might guess just looking at him. He can run a little bit. He's a good athlete, but his main attribute is hitting, and he continued to show that he's one of the top hitters in this class, both for average and for power. Big strong swing from the left hand side, and he played for the Texas Scout Team Yankees and hit a big home run for them in this tournament. So he sure did.
The only time I had seen Josh before this week was on TV when he was playing in the Aflac game, and seeing him up close, you know, he is very physical. He's mm-hmm. got a very quick swing, and that strong lower half really gives him a good package as being a good hitter. But he is also a very good athlete. You know, he is big-bodied and physical, but that doesn't get in his way as it might with some others. So he's certainly a very interesting outfielder to take a look at. A couple other guys that we saw, you know, Carson Whitson, right-hander from Florida, and Stetson Alley, the right-hander / third baseman from Ohio, threw in the same game. They're both on the East Cobb Braves, which was, you know, a very loaded team, as we saw. And they threw back-to-back in the games, which was great. You know, there was a ton of scouts at that game. You could barely see or stand behind the backstop. It was in the afternoon, so the sun was really beating down on us. And I don't think we saw a pitch below 90 miles per hour out of those guys. Both of them, which are in our top 25, some of the bigger arms in this class. I know you haven't gotten a lot of chance to see. You saw Allie some, but Carson Whitson, you got a better chance to see. You know, what did you get out of it?
Well, he looked good. He's got that big fastball. I think I saw him up to 94. Did you see any higher?
No, I touched a 95, but it was kind of one of those, you know, he pulled his shoulder out and his arm got extended and the pitch was up and out. So, you know, though he did touch a 95, I don't really count it because it wasn't a good pitch. It was just,
right.
It was just out of the zone. He kind of let it go. But he was consistently hitting 94 for me. And though his command was a little bit off, you know, 94 is about where he can get to with that fastball.
Sure, yeah, and that's one thing I noticed too, is the command was a little spotty, but the arm strength is there, and it's really good arm strength. It's special, especially you kind of put it in perspective when you walk around one of these things and you see, you know, a lot of 86, a lot of 87, some 90s, but there's very few guys who can throw 94 miles an hour at that age.
Yes, very, very few. And he threw a lot of fastballs. We didn't see a whole lot of off-speed stuff. But again, plenty of people have seen Whitson.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's kind of already established himself. We saw it earlier in the summer, so he didn't really need to show us the off-speed stuff, I guess. You know, just kind of get out there, get his reps, and get it done with. And then right after that, we saw Stetson Alley come in. Who,
well, you saw him. I took off. You know, I've seen Alley a few times this summer, and I made the trek up to the Redfields. But what did you see out of Stetson?
Well, with Stetson, you know, I saw the big velocity. I knew he had a good arm because I've seen him play third base and make throws from over there. And it's obviously at least a plus arm at third base. When he gets on the mound, I saw him, he was 94 to 96. The first couple of pitches were 96, and then he kind of was that 94, 95 range. And then down from there, you know, 92, some more 94s. The command was a little spotty, which we know is kind of his thing right now. He's got a big fastball, but not always 100% sure where it's going. The pitch I really like out of him is his slider. It is a nasty, biting 85 to 86 slider, which is just unfair. His command was spotty with the fastball, but with the slider, it wasn't too bad. You know, he can throw it for strikes, but he can also throw it close enough to the zone that he can get a guy to wave at it as it breaks out of the zone. So with those two pitches, you know, he certainly has a pretty good arsenal. But I still think the jury's out on him in terms of, you know, whether he's a position player or a pitcher. He's obviously got that really big arm, but, you know, I think he could possibly play third base. He's obviously got the arm for it. If he's going to be a pitcher and something more than maybe a back-of-the-bullpen guy, he needs a third pitch, obviously, to be a starter. But yeah, we haven't seen that yet. But you won't see it in high school much because, quite frankly, if you've got a 94 to 96 fastball and that slider, what else do you need? You don't need a changeup. The changeup would be easy to hit. So from what we're seeing with him right now, he's obviously a very good athlete and very talented and going to be very well regarded coming into the spring.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for me, I've seen him hit, and I've actually, he can hit pretty well. He's big and strong. At East Coast Pro, I saw him hit a home run, and he broke the bat, actually. But I just think that arm is too special to take him as a third baseman. I would definitely take him as a pitcher and hope that he can find the strike zone a little more consistently.
Sure, and the advantage he has always also is if pitching doesn't work out, you know, he was a hitting prospect in high school, so you can go back to that. We've seen, you know, success stories with that before and the experiments that haven't worked out, but at least it's an option. He has something to fall back on, I guess you could say. So, but moving on, you know, there were some guys outside of the top 25 that we saw that are certainly going to be top 100 candidates for us. Connor, who stood out to you at this tournament who is going to be a top 100 guy for us that really impressed you with their package of tools?
Well, one guy that really jumped out at me, and he actually could sneak his way into the top 25, I think he's going to be pretty close at least, is a left-hand pitcher named Kevin Zimek out of Amherst High School in Amherst, Massachusetts. And, you know, it was another one of those things that at these showcases, you can always tell when the good pitchers are pitching because there's about 40 golf carts behind home plate. And that was the case when he was taking the hill. And he came out and he didn't disappoint. I mean, he was sitting 90 to 91, touched 93, which is great, you know, especially for a left-hander. Showed a good tight slider that he could throw for strikes, and then a changeup that had some sink, and he also showed a curveball that gave it's a loopier curveball, but it gave hitters a different look. So he was out there throwing strikes with four pitches, and he looked really good.
Good. My pick to click is going to be a guy that I actually saw last year. He laid down a track bunt when he was playing for the Royals baseball club. And he got down the line in 3.6 seconds. So I was like, wow, I need to take this guy's name down. And sure enough, he was back again this year, showed some added strength because he was really skinny last year, showed that he had a lot of room to fill out. Added strength this year, still kind of that Dexter Fowler, very skinny frame, you know, to fill out in. But Mason Williams, a kid out of West Orange, Florida, He's a center fielder, very, very fast, and he actually has a very good arm, too. I didn't realize it until this year, but he pitches a little bit, and I've been told that he's about 90-92 off the mound. So he's got a plus arm from center field. He did throw one guy out at the plate, and then another game I was at, there was a sac fly to right center field that should have been routine, and he almost nailed the guy at the plate with a very good throw. So he's kind of... he's kind of my guy right now. I guess you could say he's my personal cheese ball. I really want to see this kid do well. He swings it from the left side, and when he takes a full swing, he's consistently 4 seconds down the line or less.
Yeah.
So he's going to be my pick to click. So
sure.
Keep
I
an
mean,
eye
that,
on
that
him.
The speed is exciting.
The speed is pretty amazing. Touching on one other guy who actually is in our top 25, but kind of flies under the radar a little bit because he doesn't have huge velocity or anything like that, but he just goes out there and competes and gets the job done, is Drew Sisco. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about him, but then we have an interview to play for you. But tell us about the game that you saw Drew Sisco pitch in Jupiter just this past week.
Sure. Yeah, what was really interesting about Sisco's performance is a lot of times you see these pitchers at the showcase events, and they come out and they throw an inning, two innings, you know, maybe you see him for three or four innings. But Sisco, incredibly, he went out there and he threw seven innings. He threw a complete game, and it wasn't just against some random team. This team had Nick Castellanos and Yordi Cabrera, two top 25 hitters. And he shut them down, didn't give up a run, only gave up four hits. He didn't walk anybody, and he struck out eight. So that was a really special performance for Drew Sisco. And I caught up with him after the game, so let's listen into that interview.
Congrats on the good game out there. How do you feel?
I feel good. That was a big win for us. It was a good team. I played with a bunch of them, actually, in the Under Armour All-American game and the USA Tournament of Stars and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I knew quite a bit of them, and they were good players.
Yeah. What's your general game plan when you take them out? How do you like to attack hitters?
I rely on location a lot, and my fastball is it's average, and I take pride in throwing inside and outside and hitting my spots and knowing hitters' weaknesses and throughout their at bat. So my game plan pretty much just is go after the hitters and use my mental game.
Mhm. Yeah. For someone that's never seen you before, how would you describe yourself and talk about your different pitches? Tell us what you throw.
Well, fastball, curveball, and changeup. Usually I like to go in and out with my fastball. Some pitchers don't throw inside a lot, but I'm one that likes to throw inside and keep you off balance with the curveball as an out pitch and fastball as an out pitch. And I like to mix in my changeup throughout the game and make sure to keep the ball down and hit location.
Good. How'd you specifically attack Yordy Cabrera and Nick Castellanos today?
Yordy, I threw a bunch of breaking pitches to Yordy today. I wanted to see if he could hit it and prove that he could hit it. And then Nick, I go in on him with the fastballs early and then come with the breaking balls later in the game to see if he could prove to hit that. So.
Sure. You've been traveling all around this summer. Tell us about where you've been this summer and what that experience has been like.
I've been to the East Coast Showcase. I started out at the Metrodome, I think, the first one. Then we went to Tournament of Stars, Metrodome, East Coast Pro, and the Wrigley Field deal there.
Mm-hmm.
So I met a bunch of great players, and it was a good deal for me to do, and I'm glad I did. It was a long summer, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you've grown up around pitchers with your grandpa and your brother, of course. And what has that been like for you, and what have you learned from them?
It's been great. You know, my granddad was here actually today. He's been a big impact on me too. Both my grandpas, they having a pitching family. With Mike being in the Phillies organization. You get to learn from their mistakes and their success, and that's something I take pride in and learning. And I just have my ears open every time he's speaking, and we go out to the bullpen whenever he's in town. It's a good thing to do when we're talking on the phone to hear not just the physical side, but the mental side as well. So I think it's a good deal for me to have that.
And that was Connor Glassy with Drew Sisco at the Whirlwood Bat Championships down in Jupiter, Florida. So we're back with you now, and we want to talk a little bit more about what happened in Jupiter. One thing that Perfect Game did this year, instead of just having all of the games on all of the fields, they added in what they called the Bo Jackson Five-Tool Championship, where they took players that were in the events and that they feel best represent the five tools. And they put them all together and they had them compete in these different drills, I guess you could say. They had a group of guys that they considered five-tool candidates that competed in every competition. And then they had guys that competed in just one of the events because a guy that was known for his arm or known for his foot speed or known for his raw power at the plate or something like that. I thought it was very interesting. It was a great idea. We got to see some really interesting stuff. It was 4 hours.
It was
the end of a long day, and it was 4 hours long with a lot of time in between events. So there needs to be some tightening up there. But overall, very interesting. What did you take from it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun event. It was a nice way to end the day. I got to sit there and see some of the top players show off their tools. Like you said, it needs to be tightened up a little bit, and I'd really like to see them, if they continue to do this, I'd like to see them make the players use wood bats, because it's the wood bat tournament, and they're here at this showcase event using metal, which I think turned off some of the scouts and things like that. But it was a lot of fun, and we got to see some exciting players, show off what they can do. We saw Mitchell Shiflett, with his 6.38 60, which was the fastest one there. That was pretty exciting. A couple guys, you know, weren't too far behind, like Andrew Tolles ran a 6.48. Sean Coyle ran a 6.48. Kevin Jordan ran a 6.51. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. And we saw some pretty fun home runs, didn't we?
We certainly did. Wagner Mateo, who recently signed a contract with the Cardinals but had it voided. It was $3.1 million, I believe. But had it voided because he didn't pass his physical. There were some concerns about his eyesight. Just from him hitting, I didn't see anything wrong with his eyesight. He was squaring a lot of balls up and hitting it all over the field. One of his home runs was an absolute laser over the right field wall that got out in a very little time and hit the Cardinal offices, which were told the window that he struck was Jeff Lunau's window. So a little bit of poetic justice, I guess you could say, for Wagner Mateo, saying,
yeah,
hey, look what I can do. But then he later hit another one, which was more of a towering home run that actually landed on the roof, which I know it's a metal bat, but I don't care who you are. If you're 16, 18 years old and you're hitting those kind of balls with a metal bat, there's something to be said for for your talent.
It was impressive. I did see him in the games, and he looked more raw with the wood against the live pitching, but definitely showed off some impressive tools there.
Mm-hmm. Another interesting thing about the event is the final day was Monday, which had the semifinals and the finals, so the final four, then two teams competing, in which the Brave Scout team, which is actually an underclass team that was all 2011 and 12 graduates, won the entire event. Besides having that championship round, we got to see some consolation games. So some of the teams that decided to stick around and not head on home, and some good ones at that, like East Cobb, the Southeast Texas Sun Devils, we got to see them play again. If we didn't get to see them earlier in the tournament because we were at other fields, that was a real nice thing. So, you know, what did you see in that final day?
I was really glad to see that, especially because I didn't get a chance to see the Sun Devils too much. So it was really nice to see Garen Cicchini was on that team. His little brother Gavin was on the team, who is also a fine player. And his parents coached the team. Parents, mom and dad.
Yes, they do. Glenn Cicchini is the head coach of Barb High School in Louisiana and helps out with the Southeast Texas Sun Devils. Barb High School, if you guys know, it's probably one of the best high school programs for baseball that we've seen in the last 20 years. So we named it the top program of the decade about 8 to 10 years ago, maybe. So he's the lead guy there, but his wife, Raisa, actually helps out a lot as well. She throws batting practice, which in the interview coming up that we have with Garen Cicchini, he really likes his mom's batting practice. And
yep,
my favorite part was, when a team comes in from defense, the first baseman and the center fielder, they get a ball. Usually there's one player that's designated to throw that ball to those guys so that when they go back out, they have a ball ready to go for warm-ups.
Sure.
Well, that was Race's job.
Yep.
And she did not take any time in just, tossing out or lobbing this little easy toss. She fired absolute peas at the players. So she is an amazing individual, and she knows her baseball.
Yep.
And this is just one of the greatest combinations I've ever seen. They're a lot of fun. They're both really nice, both very energetic.
Live wires,
and their kids are extremely talented at the game.
They are, and they're not just talented. They're great kids.
They've been
brought up well. It's a great baseball family, and they were a lot of fun to watch. And it was also fun to see in that consolation game. We got a chance to see Taiwan Walker, who I didn't see earlier in the week, but he pitched, and that was nice. Great to see him in a consolation game. Give us an extra chance.
Yep, got an extra chance to look at Taiwan Walker, and we also saw a little more of Jake Feltz, who I've really personally, he started to grow on me a little bit. He's a very physical, stocky catcher, very strong guy behind the plate. I just love the package that he brings to it. So, but going back to the Cicchinis, Connor, you caught up with them with Garen for a little bit, so let's go ahead and listen into that interview right now.
All right, I'm here with Garen Cicchini. Garen, tell me how the weekend's been going for you.
It's been
has been great. You face a lot of good competition in Jupiter, Florida, and you know, all the best players come here, and it's really good competition, and it's fun to be around because you just don't want to breeze through games and all that. So, I mean, it's great. It's great competition. Try to get you ready for the next level because the best players are here.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a good weekend though. It's been a very productive weekend, and I think it's for everyone. For everyone.
Sure. Well, I mean, what's it like standing out there, sort of looking out behind the backstop and seeing, you know, 200 to 300 guys with their eyes on you?
Yeah, well, I don't know if they're all on me, but, I mean, hopefully a couple are. But, you know, it's fun. It's fun to know that all your hard work just came through and it's showing off, you know, because, you know, you work so hard to get to this point, and then you have people come watch you and want to pay you to play a game. You know, it's really cool to have that, you know, in your mind.
Sure. For someone, you know, listening to the Baseball America podcast here that hasn't seen you play, how would you describe yourself as a player?
You know, I'm very competitive. I'm humble, but my best tools are hitting and base running. So I think that my hitting is a plus and my base running is a plus. So I think that's what I bring to the table, is hitting and base running. And so any, I mean, when I go to LSU, that's what I'm going to bring. If I get drafted by a team, that's where I'm going to bring. So I think as a player, I'm a hitter and a base runner. So.
Yeah. What are you working to improve?
I'm working to improve my defense, my hands, my feet, trying to get around balls, working on my hands, softer hands. But, you know, I always want to get 1% better every day. If there's 31 days in each month, and you're getting 31% better, shoot, at the end of the year, man, you know, that's my goal, is to get 1% better every day on anything. You know what I mean? So that's my goal for this year.
Sure. Your parents or your coaches in high school and here at the tournament, what's it like playing for your parents?
It's awesome, you know, because some guys don't really get the chance to play with their parents. I mean, maybe in Little League and all that, but my parents, they never coached me ever until high school because, I mean, they didn't want to get into that Little League stuff. They wanted the other dad to get into it and all that. But then in high school, I mean, they coached me all around, but, like, when I was on the team,
sure,
they didn't coach me. But, I mean, it's fun to see when you look in the dugout, you got my mom and my dad. It's my dad,
right.
You know, there's not many moms that can, like, go out there and throw the best BP in the world. But I've never seen anyone throw BP like her, so,
yeah.
You know, it's awesome to have that.
It's a pretty unique situation.
Yeah.
And your little brother plays, too. Tell us about him.
You know, he's a good player. He's a good player. Just like everyone else, though, you got to get better. You got to get better every day, 1% better. And he'll be good. He'll be good. He'll be a guy that you're looking at in a couple years. So, you know, it's fun, though. He has a good time. He's competitive. Plays the game right. That's the only stuff they tell you. Play the game right. You
know, yeah.
Go out hard, run everything out, and that's what we do. So.
Yeah. Now, be honest with me. Were you guys buddies growing up, or you pick on
my brother?
Yeah.
I pick on him because he says, like, man, Garrett, you maybe can hit and run bases, but you can't play no defense. You know, because I think he's got me on defense, but, you know, I was like, yeah, come on, have you hit a home run yet? So, we mess with each other, so,
yeah.
But we love each other, and it's a good, it's really competitive, but it's a good competitive, you know.
Sure. What would you say are your goals?
You know, man, my goals, Brody, you know, it's like I said, you get 1% better every day. Because if you get 1% better,
I know it's
part of your game. You know how much better you get?
Yeah.
2 years ago, I wasn't here is what I was, and that was my goal, to get 1% better. That's the only goal I had. Every day I just bust myself. I mean, I spend, I think, 5 to 7 hours in the field every day.
Yeah.
I go up and get off the PDT work, just try to get 1% better every day, work on my hands. And, you know, that's what I'm going to try to do this year. I mean, give me the best shot that I can in life.
Sure. You had a busy summer. Tell us, what was it like going to Venezuela with Team USA?
Awesome experience.
Yeah.
Very different in Venezuela now. But, I mean, it was awesome. You know, we got to play with the best guys in the country. Top 18 guys. You know, there's a lot of other people that didn't make it that are really good players too. But
true.
I mean, back to your question, it was an awesome experience. You got to wear Team USA on your shirt. You know, it kind of brings tears to your eyes because you worked so hard. And the next day, you got USA on your shirt, and on the back, you got your team. You know, or your last name. So it was an awesome experience. And then we won the gold against Cuba.
Yeah.
And that was a tough game, but you know, it was awesome bringing it out. Country, so,
yeah.
You know, but, so it was a good experience. It was definitely life changing for me. I was ready to get back to the United States. you're ready to lead that team. You know what I mean? So.
Exactly.
Which ones are your teammates stood out for?
My teammates?
Yeah, in USA.
Oh.
And that was Connor Glassie with Garen Cecchini at the end of the Worldwood Bat Championships. Connor, do you have anything that you want to add before we wrap it up here?
No, I mean, just that It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of good baseball, met a lot of good people. We actually met a few big leaguers while we were here down there.
We sure did. Dante Bichette was there, who I met in January at the Power Showcase. It was really nice that he remembered who I was, so we got to talk with him for a little bit. Apparently, I made friends with Ozzie Guillen at a game because he was stealing numbers off my radar gun.
Looked like your old buddies.
Seriously. So, being a Tigers fan, I don't know how that works out. But Brett Saberhagen was there representing West Coast Sports Management. Very nice guy.
He was. It was good for me to meet Brett. He was one of my childhood favorites because we have the same birthday.
That's great.
Yep.
And Carl Everett was there because his son plays. Bo Jackson was obviously in attendance for his team. Chet Lemon has his own team in the tournament called Chet Lemon's Juice.
Yep.
John Cangelosi is the head of the Cangelosi Baseball Club, so he was there. You know, a lot of guys down there that have big league experience, whether it was playing or coaching. Rick Knapp was there, the Tigers pitching coach, because his son is a pitcher, conveniently enough.
Yep.
So it was a great event. Got to see the amateur prospects, got to see the big league guys kind of also weigh in on their feelings. And I forgot one, Steve Garvey. His son was on the championship team, the Brave Scout team. Ryan Garvey, an outfielder, a good little player. So it was certainly a lot of fun. I'm exhausted. I'm taking tomorrow off. I'm going to catch up on some sleep and then get back to the grind when we get back. But certainly check out baseballamerica.com for all the content. Don't hesitate to email us with those questions. We hope you guys enjoyed it. And, Connor, you want to add one more thing?
One more thing. Yeah, it's also, you know, it's book season around here. There's a lot of great books coming out.
Sure
we just
are.
Got the Draft Almanac on our desk today, and that should be available soon. And a lot of other good books with the Prospect Handbook and the Super Register and the Almanac and the Directory. So go ahead and check those out at baseballamerica.com in the store. And also make sure to follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/baseballamerica.
Very good stuff, everybody. Got plenty of content for you, so enjoy it. Drop us those emails, send in those questions. But most of all, enjoy that baseball. Take care, everybody.